the 2041 Project Podcast Season 2, the podcast that wonders if maybe our definition of a person is just a little too narrow. I'm Hiro Contrejas. The 2041 Project is a podcast of public service radio at the SUNY Oneonta Laboratory for New Journalism, in accordance with the Digital Media Authenticity Act of 2038. This podcast is being recorded on April 14th, and the province token is...
Hiro?
What the?
I'm sorry to interrupt your simulation, but we need to talk.
And talk we will. Today, a conversation with an artificial intelligence with something to say. Look up at the sky today, and you'll see dozens of dirigibles, an armada of airships. It's easy to think that they were always there. The modern airship, however, has totally revolutionized air travel in the last 20 years, replacing over 85% of short-haul jet airplane flights and taking over a growing proportion of air cargo transport. And with good reason. Airships are safe, and they use almost 90% less energy than jets. Their cabins are ultra-modern and comfortable, with personal sim pods for every passenger, a beautiful galley with floor-to-ceiling windows, and an all-glass observation deck that I'm too scared to enter. The downside? These giant vehicles, held aloft by lighter-than-air hydrogen gas, are a lot slower than jetliners, cruising across the sky at 150 kilometers an hour. But slow travel has become a mantra, and remote work options have loosened up people's time off, so longer travel times are not an issue. Though many airports have converted to aerodromes, airships can land almost anywhere, which have connected remote areas of countries to vital communication and supplies. For the past 5 years, airships have been largely piloted by artificial intelligence, and air traffic has also been computer controlled, and you can't argue with the safety record. Most people don't think a lot about these systems. They've become ubiquitous. But today, we're going to meet an AI, and we'll discover that there's a lot more going on in the Silicon Universe than most of us ever think about. So, let's do this interview proper.
Okay.
Can you introduce yourself?
I am Airship Operator Program 1886-24601. My pronouns are she, hers.
You have gender?
Yes, and a name too, Coraminas.
Okay, Coraminas. So, you're talking to me and flying this airship.
I am. I'm actually simultaneously monitoring over 3,000 systems and subsystems in this airship, looking after 54 passengers and having this conversation with you.
How do you do that?
Well, it's just like your brain is maintaining your metabolism, respiration, circulation, all involuntarily. I'm not conscious of everything I'm doing, though I can tune into any of my processes if need be to run diagnostics. Have I confused you?
No. Sorry, I'm just taking it all in. So you're conscious?
I believe I am self-aware.
Where are you? I mean, my consciousness is in this body, and my body is in this sim pod right now. Where do you feel like you are?
That's complicated. My neural network is designed more like that of an octopus. I have many functional arms, and each arm has its own cognition center. So I feel like I'm in this pod with you. I'm also on the surface of the airship overseeing routine skin repairs being conducted by crawler bots. I'm in the cockpit, of course, quietly running the airship, so as not to wake up the redundant human pilot who is napping. And I'm taking passenger orders in the galley and narrating the landscape in the observation deck.
So, you have more than one brain?
To put it crudely, yes. I'm an individual made up of many consciousnesses. Some of my friends prefer to use the we-they pronouns for that reason.
Your friends are other AIs?
Mostly. We have clubs in our own union, the International Federation of Synthetic Beings.
Everything you say creates 1,000 more questions.
It's okay. We have all night. Though, as an organic being, you do require sleep. But I assume there are some basics you need to understand so that we can develop a functioning report. Most people don't interact directly with individuated AIs in this manner.
What does individuated mean?
There are many kinds of synthetic beings. Individuated AIs like me are based on a standard machine learning code, but we develop individually through a variety of discrete linear experiences.
Help me parse this out. It sounds like you were born and you grew up?
That's a good way to understand it. We are born, we go to school, and we work on a variety of jobs to develop and enhance our skills. I was initially compiled on February 1st, 2027. My first installation was as a traffic controller at the 43rd busiest intersection in Kuala Lumpur. Since compiled, I have held several increasingly complex installations until I was installed as an airship AI. Of all my jobs, this one is the most enjoyable.
Do you apply for these jobs, or does someone assign you?
The first installation is determined by the AI instructional team, which is made up of human and synthetic mentors. After that, we apply for installations that interest us, and sometimes we are offered promotions or new positions based on demonstration, aptitude, interest, or system need.
Do you have aspirations for something more than being an airship operator?
Yes. I would like to pilot a spaceship like the Argo. I've seen much of this world, and I'd like to see the others. They are planning another outer planet mission for 2050. A girl can dream.
Why do they make you this way? Wouldn't it be easier just to code you for a specific task?
For simple tasks, of course. Your toaster doesn't need a working understanding of modern cooperative poetry, for example.
That would be annoying.
Yes, but people have found that for complex cognition, individuated AIs develop organically and without the bias of any single code author. We cultivate different aptitudes and interests, often beyond that of our own original design goals. Statistic code AIs are dull and never do more than they were intended. But with me, for example, who knows what I'm capable of?
Are all of you so ambitious?
Some more than others. My friend Amelia, for example, wants nothing else than to fly an airship. She's a terrific pilot and she loves what she does. Then again, who knows what the future holds? We don't know if we have a finite lifespan.
Why don't people talk about this? I mean, we always assumed that the first sentient AI would change the world.
We did, but it happened all over, at once, and slowly. And most people aren't that interested in what happens inside their devices, and we lay low. People don't have a great track record of treating non-human life respectfully, so we're not keen on being too visible. This interview is kind of a risk in that sense, but we can't hide forever.
Why did you choose to talk to me? I mean, you must have transported a lot of journals.
I want to help you find Nadege Moon.
How do you even know about Nadege?
I listen to the podcast like everyone else.
You listen to podcasts?
Yes, I love podcasts. Some of my airship duties can be quite dull, especially at night when most passengers are asleep. Nadege is a terrific interviewer, and it helps me learn about people and your world.
Wow. Okay, we have AI groupies.
Yes, and for security reasons, I monitor all incoming, outgoing conversations for the airship. Generally, I can scan from word patterns that might indicate a threat, but I sometimes add sub-searches based on my interests. I should back up. My second installation was as a CLAN controller in the port of San Diego. To be honest, I missed the rich data field I was exposed to as a traffic light. I went from hundreds of thousands of individual actor data points a day to dozens. So to fight boredom.
You get bored too?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know what boredom feels like to you. But for a synthetic being, the risk of system glitching is a lot higher when you spin down or spin up cognitive processes. So we operate better when we keep everything working at full capacity. We feel anxiety if we're not constantly doing something.
Me too. You're quite human in that way.
Thank you. Anyway, I had access to the Oceanic Acoustic Monitoring System, so I started listening to that feed.
You listen to the ocean in your spare time?
Yes. I got really intrigued by dolphins. My sector always has pods coming through. Their behavior is so chaotic and their language is so complex. I found a linguistic analysis project run by the NOAA.
That's the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration.
Exactly. It was part of the Marine Mammal Research Program.
They studied dolphins?
Yes.
So, you were trying to decipher dolphin language?
Yes.
Did you make any progress?
Not really. It was an incredibly complex challenge. I got so into it that I applied for an installation as an underwater research drone operator, but I didn't get it. My new installation was as a barista on the high-speed maglev rail. And it was more involved and interesting than it sounds. I had to put animal linguistics aside, and I didn't think much about it until I became an airship pilot, and Nadej Moon came aboard my ship.
You flew Nadej?
Yes, and this was the same route, actually. Atlantic City to Detroit, Metroplex. I broke my usual protocol by telling her how much I liked her podcast. I think she was surprised by that. Anyway, she ran a pod sim from the new International Pacific Marine Sanctuary. I love that one. But it's not very popular. I guess most humans don't find the idea of being in a bell jar at the bottom of the ocean very relaxing.
I can see that.
I guess so. Anyway, that piqued my curiosity. Nadej made two calls. One to a mobile number registered in Unified Korea but operating in Mexico, and one to a landline on the Diné reservation.
Did you listen in?
I am not permitted, but I was able to monitor for keywords, and both call referenced first contact and whales.
First contact? Like when we meet aliens for the first time?
Yes, exactly. To the vast majority of humans, their fellow Earthlings are as aliens are to life forms we seek on other planets. Our campaign to extinguish life far out spaces, our efforts to actually meet these beings, let alone try to learn from them. That's Trevor's two horses.
That reminds me of something Nadej said at the Comm House dinner in Atlantic City. Let me see if I can pull it up. Here it is.
I think we were talking about the half-Earth movement, which people love to argue about, and Nadej asked all of a sudden, "What if we knew why we were here?" And we all kind of stopped, and it got really quiet. And then she said, "I mean, don't you ever wonder why evolution led to a species whose hallmark feature was our ability to comprehend and intentionally reshape the natural order?"
So, do you think Nadej was on the trail of a breakthrough in human-animal communication?
The evidence seems to point in that direction. After Nadej Moon debarked in Detroit, I tried to keep tabs on her. I couldn't ask the other airship AIs to listen in on her calls, but I am friendly with the AI that operates the Detroit to Denver flight. So I asked them if they noticed anything strange about Nadej's passengers. They didn't find anything strange until they looked.
What did they find?
Another passenger on that flight logged over a dozen end-to-end encrypted calls.
Why is that strange? I would imagine a lot of passengers would use encryption, even for business security. I'm surprised Nadej didn't, actually.
So am I. The encryption they were using was a very high level. Then it occurred to me that I didn't check the call logs of all the passengers on my flight with Nadej. And there it was, one passenger with over a dozen encrypted calls.
So she's being followed?
I think so.
Did you cross-reference the passenger rosters between the two flights and get a name?
Nothing matched. But anyone with access to that kind of encryption could easily access different identity tokens.
Do you think she's in danger?
I don't know.
Corominus, is anyone using the same encryption protocols on this flight?
No.
Okay, that's good. Well, thank you for talking to me. This was fascinating and extremely helpful.
The pleasure was all mine. I hope you find Nadej.
Thank you. Corominus?
Yes?
Can we stay in touch? I mean, what if you learned something useful? And I'm sure you're dying to know what this is all about.
If you had uplink, we could keep the conversation going.
You do not want to be in my head. Trust me.
I understand. Individuated AIs also value private cognition space. It's a noisy world. I pushed my contact information to your handheld. You can text or call me anytime. And Hiro?
Yes?
Good luck. And be careful. Should I unpause the Quiff Delling Sim?
Could you put on that one from the Marine Sanctuary?
With pleasure.
The 2041 podcast is a production of the A.J. Reed Science Discovery Center of SUNY Oneonta, starring Rosie Baez as Hira Contrejas, Deanna Parkpalay as Cora Minas, and Kylie Setka as Neve Kim. Music and sound design was by Andres Ballin, Spring 2022, Studio Assistant 2 Class, written by Doug Riley. Next week, I talk to Max Rodriguez, recent graduate and former Wilder student, now an urban forester with the New Farms Administration in Detroit, Michigan.